Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Christ Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Learn more about Christ OPC by visiting our webpage at www.christopcatl.org. Currently, Christ OPC is meeting on campus each Sunday at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. for worship using social distancing protocols and assigned seating. Child care is available at the 11 a.m. worship. Please contact the church through its website for additional information and directions.
Let's turn now in our scriptures to Philippians 3, verses 12 through 4, verse 1. Philippians 3, verse 12, and concluding at Philippians 4, verse 1. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will also reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I think we were all sad when the Olympics were canceled this year due to COVID-19. So, Let's reminisce about what happened 4 years ago at the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. How 4 years ago, almost all of us were glued to our television sets as we watched Michael Phelps compete for medal glory at the Summer Olympics in Rio. Now, Phelps had won gold medals in 2004 in Athens and 2008 in Beijing, China, and 2012 in London, and then he retired. But he felt he had some wax left in him. He felt that maybe he could contend just one more time. And contend he did. By the time the Olympics were over, he had won 5 gold medals and 1 silver in 6 different swimming events. And he was made the flag bearer for Team USA at the closing ceremonies. He ended his amateur swimming career with a medal count of 82 medals. That is 65 gold medals, 14 silver, and 3 bronze. And this was spanning over the Olympics, World Championships, and Pan Pacific Championships. Now, what was the secret to his medal success? Well, we could definitely say it was his athletic prowess, his physique. But the television cameras recorded not just his races. Some of you will probably remember, and you can also look this up if you want later on. They also recorded his mental preparation. I think many of you will remember him sitting poolside with this stern look on his face and this giant, earphones. These giant earphones, listening to music. And what was he doing? He was forgetting all of his previous competitions, all the previous medals, and he was focusing on that one race, and he was focusing on the podium, and he was focusing on the flag being raised, and the anthem being played. Everything was blocked out, and the prize was before him. He was pressing on. Now, brothers and sisters, Just as Michael Phelps mentally and physically strained himself to gain medals, so it is with us. There's a prize in place for us who are in Christ Jesus, and it's ours for the taking. But we must strain for it, like an athlete going for gold. 3 points tonight. Press on. Number one, press on. Number two, follow the leader. Follow the leader. And number three, remember your citizenship. Press on. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature think this way, and if anything, if you think otherwise, God will reveal it to you. What has Paul not obtained yet? Well, previously, Paul spoke about identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing him, knowing the power of his resurrection, sharing in Christ's suffering, becoming like him in his death, and that by any means possible, he desired that he would attain the resurrection from the dead. And earlier in his letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." So what Paul has not yet obtained is the consummation of his relationship with God in Christ Jesus. You see, salvation is an ongoing process, a process by which we are being perfected. We are being set apart by God to glorify him and enjoy him forever. Paul likens it to an endurance race, a long and hard process that has an immediate beginning, a long and painful course of action, but a rewarding conclusion for those who take part in it. And last week, we learned of how it begins. In our Sunday school study of Titus, we learned that the Spirit of Christ applies to us the redemption Christ purchased for us. And last Sunday, we learned in Philippians 3:1-11 that we have been justified. God has pardoned all our sins. God has accepted us as righteous in his sight due to the righteous person and work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout Philippians, we've learned that sanctification is a position and a process. It's a position because we've went from being sinners apart from God to saints belonging to him because of his love, his Son's crucifixion, and the Holy Spirit's application. It's a process in that there is an end goal. We will be perfected in this life and receive perfection in the future age. By any means possible, Paul was straining for that prize. Now, if that meant being acquitted by Caesar and going back into the known world and preaching the gospel and planting churches and then dying for Christ and rising again, well, so be it. But if it meant that he was going to be executed as a martyr by Nero Caesar and his remains would be in the ground awaiting the resurrection at the last day while his soul was with Christ, well, then so be it. But it still was not in his grasp. He had not yet attained perfection. And that's something very important for us as well. While you live in this life, you will not attain perfection. John Wesley thought that we Christians could attain perfection in this life. But if the Apostle Paul tells us that he has not yet attained perfection, why should we expect to attain perfection in this life? While we have life and breath, we will not obtain perfection. We are not going to be perfect in this life, but we are being perfected in our sanctification. And one day we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he will say, "You are perfect." But from now on until the day of our death or until the return of Christ, let us strive for the prize. Let us press on. Why must we press on? We are to press on for the same reason Paul pressed on, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. We are to press on to make salvation our own, because Christ has made us his own. He redeemed us with his blood. He has made us his people. He has equipped us to serve him and one another. And this echoes back to phrases we heard earlier in this letter. In Philippians 1:6, Paul said, "I am confident that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ." Then in Philippians 2:12-13, Paul wrote, in light of Christ's humiliation and exaltation with his incarnation, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Knowing that God the Spirit is in us, empowering us like a battery powers a toy or a tool, can motivate us to press on. The final prize of salvation is ours for the taking. Own it. After the Israelites were delivered out of slavery in Egypt, out of the house of bondage, guided by God through the wilderness of Sinai, and they entered the promised land, each tribe of Israel was allotted a portion of land within the promised land. Everything they needed was there for the taking. Cities, wells full of water, fields full of wheat, vineyards full of grapes for wine, olive trees, salt licks, grazed pasture land for their cattle and sheep to graze upon, houses, you name it, God had it all set in place. Just one minor obstacle. Those lands were populated by the Amorites. To get the land and its amenities, the tribes of Israel had to drive them out. And sadly, the scriptures record that the Israelites did not completely conquer the promised land. Most of them failed to trust in God's promises and half-heartedly conquered some of the regions, left others to the Amorites, or coexisted with them. They failed, and then the result was they indulged in immorality and idolatry. They failed to take ownership of what God had laid before them. They saw the giant Amorites and forgot the God who brought them out of the land of Egypt. The same God, he is the same God. The same God who brought them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, was the same God that was going to deliver the Amorites into their hands. And they forgot him. We can do the same. How we look ahead and consider all the great obstacles ahead of us on our way to the kingdom of heaven. Well, how will we respond? Will we half-heartedly take the route? Will we give up? Will we compromise with the world? No, we can and we must press on to the goal. In his book, Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, John Bunyan captures the Christian life perfectly. It's not the 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's a process, a lengthy and difficult process. But never forget that the prize is already in place. We just need to run towards it. Now, this athletic language was familiar to our Philippian brothers. They were familiar with the Olympic Games and the athletic events of strength and skill and endurance. They grew up with the story of the Greek youth who, upon witnessing the Greeks defeat the Persians at the Battle of Marathon, ran 25 miles from the battlefield to the city of Athens and declared to the concerned Athenian citizens about the outcome, "Joy to you! We won!" And then he died on the spot. They know that story. Paul took these athletic allusions and applied them to the Christian life. We have victory in Christ. Joy to you. He has won. Now let's run for Christ. Let's claim our salvation in full and proclaim the gospel to others along the way. Now, children, you are playing in your backyard and suddenly the back door flies open and your mom or dad cries out, "Snack time!" What are you going to do? You're going to drop everything. You're going to drop your toys. You're going to jump out of your furniture. You're going to climb down off the tree. You're going to outrun your brothers and sisters and your best friends because there's a snack in place for you. You have a strategy to get to that back door, and you're going to get your snack. The prize is in place. Well, Paul says the exact same thing. It's in place for you. Come and get it. But you need a strategy, don't you? Well, Paul gives us a strategy by which we can claim the prize. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Earlier in chapter 3, we recall that Paul listed off his past and his pedigree and his performance as reasons that he could qualify himself for salvation, because there were false teachers saying that you must have these in place in order to have salvation. But then Christ stopped him in his tracks at Damascus Road and convicted him of his sinfulness, and that his salvation was not going to be found in his flesh, but apart from the law of God. It could only be found in Jesus Christ and his finished work. And therefore, he let go of his past and his pedigree and his performance, and he focused on Christ for his salvation. But as a redeemed servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the temptation was probably great to dwell on the past, to dwell on pedigree, and dwell on performance in Christ. Paul could have rested on his laurels and celebrated all the conversions that happened that he was responsible for, instrumental in doing. He could have rested on his laurels about all the churches that he planted and all the souls that he edified. But he refuses to do that. Instead, he forgets about the past failures and the past achievements apart from Christ and in Christ, and instead focuses on Christ. In Luke 10:20, Jesus' disciples came back from the mission field and they reported on all the demons they had cast out. What was Jesus' reply to them? "Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." We focus too much on our past and our pedigree and our performance. We'll take our eyes off the prize that has perfected salvation in Jesus Christ. And this will result in faulty doctrines and faulty practices, in which we'll place our confidence once again on our own flesh instead of Christ's death and resurrection and reign for us. Instead of leading us further to salvation, it will cause us to backslide, or worse, fall into apostasy. Therefore, press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then there's the temptation to focus on failures. Failures in our past, failures in our pedigree and performance. I'm sure you've all said this. "If only, I wish, I would have, I could have, I should have." Regrets, you all have them. There's no need to dwell on our successes. There's no need to dwell on our failures. We have been forgiven of our sins. We have salvation in Christ, and the consummation of our salvation lies ahead. Press on. Note also that this endurance run is not a solo run for Paul. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Now, from what we have read in Philippians, this is a very mature congregation, but maturity can sometimes lead to arrogance. that we've covered all the subjects, performed all the tasks, believed in the core doctrines, and assumed that we've obtained perfection. However, if Paul, the servant of God and the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, had not obtained perfection yet, then neither should we assume we have. Press on. Now, if we so desire to press on in the Christian life to claim the prize of salvation, that at the last day, it's important to press on. But how do we know if we're going in the right direction? Well, this leads to my second point. Follow the leader. Now, children, you've probably played the game Follow the Leader. The object of the game is you've been chosen to lead your friends. And you raise your right hand like this, and they all do that. And then you raise your right hand like this, and they all do that. If they step out of line another way or don't do what you want them to do, they're out of the game. And then the last one who's doing exactly what you're doing wins, and they become the leader. Well, Paul encourages the Philippians and us to also play follow the leader. There is one slight difference. All of us win. We all win when we follow a godly leader. But all of us will backslide or worse, fall into apostasy if we follow a false teacher. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. Continuing with the athletic analogy, it's always important to know which way you are to run in the race. And to know the right direction, you must follow the leader. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And we saw what kind of examples Paul gave them. He gave them Christ. He gave them himself. He gave them Timothy and Epaphroditus. Now, if you want to complete the race, first and foremost, look unto Jesus Christ, and then look unto his servants. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 12, we can read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The Lord Jesus Christ cleared the pathway for us in which to run. He cleared the path to God. When our first parents fell and took us with them into sin and misery, the Lord God closed us off from worshiping him in the temple, that is the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve and all us, their descendants, were locked out and an armed guard placed at the presence of God. But then God promised that access would one day be gained again. And this was accomplished when Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, opened the road and gate to God's presence. And as we read and read in Philippians 2, 5-11, He already had the prize of a perfect relationship with God the Father as God the Son. Did he hold on to it? No, he did not. He shared it with us. He took on our human nature. He lived the obedient life of a servant we were to live. He suffered the consequences we deserved for sin and died on the cross in our place. And then at his death, the Spirit of God blew into the temple in Jerusalem. And it went straight to the Holy of Holies, where there was a curtain separating it from the rest of the temple. And it tore it from top to bottom. The final sacrifice had been performed. And access between God the Father and us lay open. And Christ was the first to go through that open gate, which is heaven, in triumph, and he left the door open for us to enter. Then Paul makes a run for the open door and encourages us to follow. Follow Christ, follow his apostles, follow our fellow brothers and sisters as they run to make the prize of a perfect eternal life their own because Christ Jesus has made us his own. Paul not only tells us to imitate Christ, the saints, and himself, but he also warns us in Philippians 3:18-19 of leaders which we must never follow. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. The velocity of the previous verses is that of a long-distance runner. A runner with motivation, forgetting failure and achievements, a body fit, nourished and hydrated. The whole being striving, straining, and struggling towards the future. Look at those whom we are not to follow. They're not to be praised, they're to be pitied. They believe that they can earn their salvation by their own efforts and apart from the cross of Christ. But in so doing, they become enemies of Christ, the only way to God. They walk away from him and they identify themselves as his enemies. Paul reveals they're not getting closer to God. They're going the wrong way. They're heading towards eternal separation, death, destruction, and torment forever in hell. Then Paul reveals why they're going the wrong way. They worship the wrong God and glory in their shame. It's the opposite of whom we worship and glorify. In Philippians 3:3, Paul wrote, "We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." But those who are enemies of Christ worship their bellies and glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. They are fixated on all things sensual. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How can I obtain, in the words of the apologist Francis Schaeffer, personal peace and material affluence? So they eat and drink, they be merry, and they marry and give in marriage. They acquire material things, they have experiences, and they engage in sinful behavior, not giving a thought about Christ and salvation in him. Instead, they celebrate how sinful and shameful they can act. Weep for them. Pray for them. Hope that they will repent and turn to Christ. But do not follow them. They are walking towards the abyss of hell. Let us run with Paul to the prize that is set before us by Christ. And this now leads to my final point. Remember your citizenship. Returning to our opening illustration, Michael Phelps, competing at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Phelps was not just competing for medals now, was he? He wasn't just competing for corporate sponsorship. He wasn't just competing for recognition or medal glory. He was competing for the United States of America. As he was mentally preparing himself poolside, racing, receiving his medal, and seeing his flag raised and the anthem played, he was competing for America. Why are we to do this endurance race to the gates of heaven? Because that's where we are citizens. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Philippi was a carbon copy of the ancient city of Rome. It was populated by retired Roman soldiers, many of whom met the emperor and were honored for their service, their status in the empire upgraded, and rewarded retirement to Philippi. But they renounced their lordship of Caesar when they heard the gospel preached by the Apostle Paul. Having Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, well, that would not be an easy service. Like Paul, they were persecuted by their neighbors and by the authorities. They were assaulted inside the church by false teachers, and they were tempted by the devil to renounce it all and return to the sensuous and sinful behavior that is Roman culture. The Christian life is a difficult one. Upon confession of our faith, the world hates us for confessing Christ. It hates us for following Christ. But Paul assures us in Philippians 3:20-21, not to be concerned by the treatment the world's going to give us, because our citizenship is in heaven, and it has been prepared for us by Christ. We have been prepared a forever home. One day he will see us coming up the pathway, and he will run out to meet us and run alongside us in a victory lap. And then he will bestow upon us the highest honor. He will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Our neighbors apart from Christ have as their end destruction, because they're enemies of the cross. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. But look at their end. Whether we die and are resurrected at the last day, or experience the return of Christ with clouds descending, our end is resurrection and restoration and perfection. Our bodies will resemble the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ will pour upon us the same power that enabled him to subject all things to himself. Just think about that, brothers and sisters. No more diseases, no more pain, no more persecution, no more poverty. Instead, transformation into perfection by Jesus Christ with the same power that subjected all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. In closing now, we know what lies ahead of us. So let us press on to the prize that has been won for us by Jesus Christ. Let us go down the path that he has opened for us with his death and resurrection. Let us imitate our brothers and sisters who ran the race before us, and then imitate them in their patient endurance, and avoid those who tempt us to renounce Christ and return to sensuality and shame. Remember that we run for heaven, where Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we are his citizens. This will please the Lord, his servants, and our brothers and sisters, and it will motivate us to stand firm in the Lord. Therefore, press on, my brothers, press on, my sisters. Follow Christ and our brothers and sisters. Keep heaven ever in view, where at the last day we shall be transformed into a perfect people for a perfect God. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for sending us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who yielded his life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that we may go in. Praise be unto you, Lord Jesus Christ, for opening the pathway by your blood and water. We thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to will and work with fear and trembling for your pleasure. We thank you that you have raised up examples for us in yourself, the Apostle Paul, and many other servants that have trod the open way. Help us to imitate them as they imitate you. Guard us from the temptation to backslide or apostatize. Keep us focused on you, God. Lead us away from sin and sensuality, and instead focus on meeting Jesus Christ at the last day, so that we may be perfected and transformed by the same power by which he subdues all of creation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.